You would turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, where Paul talks about the church being the body of Christ. I want to talk about spiritual gifts this morning. We've been doing basic beliefs. What does the Bible teach about basic things? And I want to cover spiritual gifts this morning because next to being saved and knowing you're a child of God, and of course the Bible says we can know. These things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know that we are God's child and we're going to heaven. Next to that, I think the most important thing for serving God is knowing and understanding your spiritual gifts. And I thank God that someone taught me this when I was 19, and ever since then, I've known what my primary gift was, and I've tried to develop that gift and use it. So when people come to me and we're talking and they say, well, I've been called to ministry, or God's called me to do this, or God's called me to do that, one of the first things I ask him is, well, what's your spiritual gift? Because it's important to know. And if you don't know this morning, I want to help you try to find out what it is. Because at the point when you were saved and the Holy Spirit came into your spirit, he also gifted you with a supernatural ability to do something. And so we'll go over that. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, there are five lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. So this, I think, is the list of the primary gifts. If you look at it, beginning with verse 6, the gift of prophecy, to be able to speak forth God's truth, all right? And prophets can really be forceful and at you, okay? You know preachers like that, okay? Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, the gift of teaching, that's my gift. Or he that exhorteth, that's the gift of encouragement, and can be public. Some people are good speaking in front of a group. Some people are better one-on-one. I think the gift of encouragement includes counseling, one-on-one counseling with people. You're encouraging and admonishing people. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I believe God gives some people with the ability to make money, so that they in turn can give that money to God's work. Mr. Welch, that developed Welch's grape juice, he was a medical doctor. He wanted to be a missionary, but he didn't qualify because of his health. He had a bad heart. And so he developed the pasteurization of grape juice and told God that he would give all the profits from Welch's grape juice to missions, which he did. J.L. Kraft, the guy that invented Kraft cheese, he was a Christian. He tithed more than 10% of his income to God. J.C. Penney, another one. And so these are men that God gifted with the ability to make money, the gift of giving. Now, you don't have to be a millionaire to have the gift of giving. I had a man in my church in Tennessee that would trap foxes, and he would sell the furs. and give that money to support a missionary in the jungles of Brazil that had grown up in that community. And so you don't have to be a millionaire and make a lot of money to have the gift of giving. You just have to have a giving heart. Or he that ruleth with diligence, the gift of administration, the gift of organizing, the gift of making plans and following through on the plans. I don't have that gift, all right? You know that, okay? You know me long enough, I am not that guy, okay? But the church, the body of Christ, needs some people in the congregation with the gift of administration, the gift of being organized, okay? And that's some of you, not me, all right? And then the gift of mercy, sympathizing, empathizing. There, after this, there's a verse that goes with each one of these, and the one for mercy is verse 15, rejoice at them that do rejoice and weep at those that weep. The mercy is the one that's concerned about people and concerned about what they're going through and concerned about their feelings and concerned about their emotions. Now, the way these gifts work is we look at need based on our gift. You know, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Okay. So if we were having a dinner at church and someone made a beautiful cake for dessert, and as they walked it out of the kitchen, they dropped it on the floor, What would the prophet say? You shouldn't have done that. You should have been more careful. What would the teacher say? Now, the reason that happened was, what would the mercy say? Oh, you poor thing, I know you feel so bad. What would the giver say? Here's some money. Let's go to Publix and buy another one. What would the encourager say? Oh, don't be discouraged. Do that again. Try it. Don't quit, okay? Everyone looks at a problem through their gift, which causes problems in the church. Oh, you don't look at things my way. No, we don't, because we're different members of the body of Christ, and we have different gifts. So the gifts themselves cause divisions if you don't understand that all the gifts together make up a healthy body, okay? Now, what's the purpose of spiritual gifts? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. God has given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The gifts are there to build up the church, okay? The word for grace is charis in Greek. The word for spiritual gift is charismata. It is a grace gift from God. Vine says it's a gift involving grace on the part of God as the donor to us. Now, the history of spiritual gifts, there were early church fathers, and these were guys that were taught by the disciples, or they were taught by people who were taught by the disciples, talked about gifts. Justin Martyr, Irenaeus of Lyon, Chrysostom, Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, but it wasn't emphasized in the Reformation. So let me explain to you very quickly what gifts aren't. Gifts are not natural abilities. Just because you have the gift of gab doesn't mean you have the gift of prophecy or teaching. Because a spiritual gift operates on a spiritual level. A message from the mind reaches the mind, but a message from the heart reaches the heart. Some people can sing, some people can't. Some people sing like birds. Vultures, okay? Someone with the spiritual gift of singing. Now, there are gifted, musically trained singers. But someone with the spiritual gift of singing will sing and bless your soul. It's not just it's musically correct. It's not just it's done the right way. It's not that they're right in key. It's that their singing blesses your soul. And we have people in our church that can do that. I think the Old Testament spiritual gift is the gift of music, because David had that gift. David wrote a lot of our psalms. David had the spiritual gift of music. I think Betty has that gift. Betty blesses us with our organ and piano playing every service. And by the way, Betty's been doing it a while. When did Betty start playing the organ at Inman Park Baptist Church? Yeah, the year Eileen was born. You love that. Thank you, Betty. All right. Only Christians have them. It says, as you have received the gift, they are a gift of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Only Christians have spiritual gifts. People have talents. We have spiritual gifts. Now, your spiritual gift may reinforce a natural talent, okay? Received at the new birth, John 3:3, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We get it when we're saved. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts you give. Not everybody gets the same gift. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man perceiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can they, for they are spiritually discerned. These are on a spirit level. They speak to people's souls. Every gift can be counterfeited by Satan. Boy, you remember, every time I talk about Moses, I'm going to get a rubber snake and pull it out, okay? You know, Moses threw down his staff, it turned into a snake. The magicians of Egypt threw down their staffs, they turned into snakes too. Satan can counterfeit spiritual things. In fact, he can disguise himself as an angel of light. And so spiritual gifts can be counterfeited by Satan, just like the magicians counterfeited Moses. But I'm gonna work up. You know, Ron Patterson invited me to go to Haiti and preach, and so I gotta do one with Moses so I can whip out a rubber snake and wave it around. You know, get people all excited. For a joke, I thought about putting a box out in the front of our church and put on the poke holes in it and put a label on top that said snakes for worship service. See if that runs anybody off. Okay. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Spiritual gifts are not offices. The Bible talks about the deacon, the elder, the apostle, okay, the bishop. Those are offices in the church. Now, if you're an officer in the church, you need to know what your gift is. But those are offices. Those are not the gifts. They're not ministries. Ministries are not gifts. You use your gift to do a ministry, but they're not. Yes, spiritual fruit is not spiritual gifts. Ephesians 5:22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those are not gifts. Spiritual fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit in our life, and we're all supposed to do all nine of them. We're a couple of weeks from now, we'll look at spiritual fruit. There's only one fruit. It has nine aspects. So what happens? We get it when we're saved. We get our gifts when we are baptized into the body of Christ, which happens at salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:13 talks about being baptized into the body. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Baptism of the Holy Spirit there talks about becoming a Christian, being born again. The Holy Spirit decides what gift we get. 1 Corinthians 12:11. God gives to people severally as he wills. I knew a guy that prayed for the gift of preaching, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, and he couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper sack. He was awful. He had the gift of serving people. We don't pick the gift, God does, okay? Not everyone has all the gifts. Romans chapter 12, there's a list. Romans 12:28. Let me read it to you. 29:30. Romans 12:28, and this is very important. When I started translating Greek when I was 18 years old, we were translating this, and there are four conditional types of sentences in Greek. This is a third class condition. Now, third class condition in Greek expects a no answer, which explains how to interpret this. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then the third class conditions kick in. Are all apostles? And Paul expects a no answer. Are all prophets? He expects a no answer. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. So not everyone has all the gifts. Now, there are cults that teach that. Victor Paul Werwiel, The Way International, taught that you're not saved unless you can produce all the spiritual gifts. I had a friend that went through his training just to study it, and when it came time for him to speak in tongues, he spoke from some Sanskrit Hindu scholar, and they thought he was speaking in tongues, so he passed. But no. Now, how do we divide them up? Bill Gothard says, you have the motivation gifts, Romans 12. You have the ministry gifts, which are Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4, and you have the manifestation gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. John Owen, the Puritan scholar, said we have ordinary gifts, we have extraordinary gifts. David Hocking, who I really respect as a Bible teacher, says we have speaking gifts, we have serving gifts, and we have supernatural gifts. Let me tell you what those are. The speaking gifts are apostleship, and I believe apostle today would be a missionary. And I've explained that word to you before. The Greek word apostolon, the original meaning of that word in Greek, was a grain ship that would pick up the grain, the seeds, and then they would stop at different ports and let the loads of seed off in different places. I think the apostle in the early church was someone who carried the gospel to other places and dropped the seeds of the gospel off in different places. I believe missionary or apostle is a spiritual gift because it takes a lot to go live in the jungle and eat grub worms today. It really does. Now, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you know, when people didn't have indoor plumbing, when people didn't have air conditioning, when there wasn't a McDonald's and a Pizza Hut everywhere, it was easier to go live somewhere and give people the gospel. But now you have the younger generations, and they're used to all those luxuries, they're used to all those comforts, and to go somewhere where you don't have those things for the sake of Christ, to carry the gospel, that is a sacrifice, and a lot of missionaries only serve one term on the mission field and come home permanently. I believe that being a missionary is a gift. You have to be gifted by God to be able to live like that and carry the gospel like that. But apostle, the book of the prophecy, evangelism, pastor, teacher, exhorting, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, those are all speaking gifts. Then the serving gifts, the gift of helps, the gift of giving, the gift of administration or ruling, the gift of mercy, the gift of faith, the gift of discernment. Those are serving gifts. And then the supernatural gifts, miracles, healing, interpretation of tongues and tongues. That's the way David Hocking divides it up. Now, I believe we have one main motivational gift. This is how I interpret it. And I base that on, now we can manifest that gift in many ways, but I believe we have one primary gift. That list is Romans 12. And I base that on 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10, Peter talks about spiritual gifts, and he says, as every man has received the gift, meaning one gift, so minister one to another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every person has received the gift. Now, the Greek translation there, I went back and translated it. Eschatos, kathos, eleban, charismata. Just as everyone separately has received a gift is the way you translate that sentence. So I believe we have one primary gift. What is your primary gift? And that'll determine the things you have a burden for. That'll determine the kind of things you want to do. That'll determine what you're interested in the ministry of the church. Gifts are compared to members of the body. Everybody has only one primary function. Your ear doesn't see. Your feet may smell, but your ear only does one thing. Your eye only does one thing. Your nose may run, but every member of the body has one primary thing to do, and I think we have one primary gift, okay? Although there are a lot of books about stuff, 18 Gifts of the Spirit by Gene Getz, 21 Gifts of the Spirit, there's many as 21. Each person is to concentrate on the gift God has given us. And How do we discover it? What are you interested in? What motivates you? What does your heart go out to? You know, someone came up to me one time and I'm burdened about such. You need to do it. Don't do that to me. Because I'm going to look you right in the eye and say, you're the one with the burden. If God's burdened you, maybe God wants you to do it. Okay? What are you burdened about? What are you concerned about? What are you drawn to? What do you see that needs you? That's a clue to what your spiritual gift is. Now, you're concerned, but you have to have the confirmation of the body of Christ. You know, my roommate in college, my first roommate in college, I went through two or three. He quit after the first year because he was called to preach and they ruined his faith. Of course, a faith that fails was faulty from the first, some people say. But he was called to preach, but nobody else thought he was called to preach. That's like the old farmer that he saw the clouds in the sky and it said GP, so he thought it meant go preach, and God was trying to tell him go plow, you know. If you really have a gift, the other members of the body of Christ will affirm that, yes, you are gifted in that area. The affirmation of the body of Christ. The rest of the congregation will endorse your spiritual gift. And you're not going to be really fulfilled like you want to be, and you're not going to really be happy the way you want to be until you're doing your spiritual gift. Now, confirmation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your heart will confirm to you. You'll have that eureka feeling. I have found it. This is it. Okay? When you are doing your spiritual gifts. And that's why I think it's so important that everyone in this building today knows what their primary gift is and how it's expressed. Now, how do we find it? Well, first of all, you have to be a Christian. God doesn't gift people that aren't his children. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power of the Son, the power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. Then ask God, what's my gift? James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. We ask God for wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So ask God, show me what my gift or gifts are. Then be aware of the list. Look at these five lists in the New Testament. What on the list fits what God is moving you toward? Spiritual gifts. And be active. Try different things. Some things will be great and some things will be, how shall we say it, not so great. Okay? So you'll be able to find out what your spiritual gift is. Finley Edge used to say, he was a professor at Southern Seminary, Finley Edge used to say, this is what I'd rather do for God than anything else in the world. That is your spiritual gift, folks. Okay? Charles Spurgeon visited an elderly lady in a poorhouse. Some of us live in poorhouses. You know, someone said, have you heard of robbing Peter to pay Paul? I have all the apostles involved. But he visited this lady in an almshouse in London where he pastored, and she had a piece of paper with a signature on the wall. And he said, ma'am, what is that? She said, well, many years ago, I took care of an elderly man and nursed him till he died. And before he died, he wrote his name on a piece of paper and gave it to me. And I just saved it. She said, I can't read or write. So I just saved it and I framed it. And that's really about all I have. And Spurgeon said, well, can I borrow it? And she said, well, sure. He took it to the bank, and the bank president said, "You know, we've been wondering who the old gentleman left his fortune to." And they transferred hundreds of thousands of pounds into that woman's name in the bank. Here was a woman that was living with a treasure all her life and didn't realize what she had and didn't realize what was available to her. And I think that's the way a lot of us are with spiritual gifts. We don't know a lot about them. We're scared of that kind of stuff. We don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit in this church. You know, we're scared of it. We see extremes and it turns us off, but God wants us all to know because it's a treasure God has given each one of us. And if God's given you the ability to make $40,000 and you don't, are you in God's will or not? If God's given you the ability to minister with spiritual gifts and you don't find out what they are and use them, are you really in God's will? That's what it comes down to. That's why I said at the beginning of this, and I really feel this way, that besides knowing that you're saved and belong to God, the second most important thing to know is your spiritual gifts. And so I hope if you don't know what it is, I hope that God will bless you and you will find out this morning. But before you know that, you need to know Jesus. And so we're going to sing it.